Chapter 10. I Attempt to Litigate Comedy. Shortly after the campaign began, Eric Black, a political writer for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, asked to interview me on the topic of how my comedy past was relevant to my run for office. I was thrilled. Eric seemed to me to be an incredibly sharp journalist, and I was confident that he would understand and relate to his readers how my career as a comedy writer and satirist had prepared me for politics by training me to pick out absurdities and inconsistencies and speak truth to power. My team was horrified, but I was very committed to winning this unwinnable argument. So Andy called in reinforcements. Jess McIntosh was the communications director for the DFL party and had a very well-earned reputation for talking candidates out of doing stupid things that they wanted to do. Andy set up a phone call to have Jess talk me out of doing the interview with Eric. It went very well. Jess explained a few things. First and foremost, the campaign was trying to get the media to focus less on my career in comedy and more on my public policy positions. Oh, right. I remembered that. Also, she continued, even though she was sure I could explain the relevance of my previous career in a very clear and convincing way, no matter how persuasive I was, there was no guarantee that Eric's story would end up being helpful. Eric shared a blog with a conservative columnist named Doug Tice, who also happened to be the Star Tribune's political editor. Both were obsessed with what Tice referred to as my outbursts, which he opined were too crude to print. As a workaround, Tice referred readers directly to, quote, the estimable Michael Broadkorb of Minnesota Democrats Exposed. Yep, the same not very ethical guy who had lied about our rally in St. Louis Park. For example, Tice linked to a Broadkorb post about a line in Lies and Lying Liars in which I joked that I wanted to title my next book, I Fucking Hate Those Right-Wing Motherfuckers. Now, remember a few chapters ago when I mentioned that my next book after this one will be called The Sorrow and the Gavel, The Sad Inner Lives of U.S. Senators? Did you laugh at that? No? Not even a little? Wow, you're a tough nut to crack. Okay, but you got that I am not actually planning to write a book with that title, right? You picked up on the irony. It would be ridiculous for a United States senator to write that book, and that's why it's a joke. Well, this was another example of that same trope. In Lies, I had been refuting Republican attacks on the Clinton administration's counterterrorism strategy and examining the shortcomings in approaches to fighting terrorism under Presidents Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and W. Then I wrote, but you know what? I don't want to get into a whole partisan politics thing here, not in this book anyway. We'll leave that for my next book. I Fucking Hate Those Right-Wing Motherfuckers. Due out in October 2004, I'm hoping it will fire up the troops for the final weeks of the campaign season. The joke, of course, was that I was indeed being partisan in my very partisan book entitled Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, A Fair and Balanced Look at the Right. But I was doing it in an austere, civil tone, which contrasted with the vulgarity in the fake title. I'm sorry. I know this is pedantic, but it's also kind of obvious, right? After the phone call in which Jess talked me out of helping Eric Black with his blog post, we hired her as a press secretary. And on her first day, she staffed me at an event at the Hubert Humphrey Institute of Public Affairs in Minneapolis. It was a panel of important political people, and the audience was made up of important political people who weren't on the panel. After the program, we spotted Gwen Walls, a friend and the wife of Congressman Tim Walls, in the crowd. Jess suggested I go say hi. As she tells it, until that day, I never understood when mothers of missing children would say, I only had my back turned for a second. I only had my back turned for a second. When I looked back, there was Gwen, walking toward the door, Al-less. Where was Al? I was standing in an aisle, surrounded by important Minnesota politicos, picking a fight with Eric Black. Now, going at it in public with a widely respected political journalist is a bad idea for a candidate under any circumstances. But what made it worse was the substance of the argument. I believe that Eric understood that "I fucking hate those right-wing motherfuckers" was a joke, and I wasn't going to back down until he admitted it. Come on, you know I wasn't going to write a book with that title. No one could possibly think I was going to write a book with that title. You couldn't even sell that book in a Barnes & Noble, for God's sakes. Jess sprinted over, making her way through the gathering circle of rubberneckers, and put her hand on my back. Our team signaled to me that it was time to go, a signal that I never once successfully interpreted during the entire campaign. "Hey, Eric," she said, "if you'd like to continue this off-the-record chat, just shoot me an email. We have to go now." It was a long and quiet drive back to headquarters. When we arrived, Jess told Andy what had happened, expecting to be fired on the spot. Andy just sighed. "Yeah, well, he'll do that." Later, Jess and Andy explained to me that sometimes reporters will pretend not to understand something or play devil's advocate just to see how you'll react. They want to know what puts you on the defensive, what makes you angry, what gets a rise out of you. Eric wasn't being purposefully obtuse. "How do you know that?" I asked. "I mean, isn't pretending not to understand something, isn't that being purposefully obtuse?" Andy and Jess could see that they had to concede that point to get to the real point, which was that there is no percentage in arguing with the press. If I wanted to win this election, I was going to have to let go of things. "Let go and let God," I nodded. Now Jess and Andy were just confused. "It's an Al-Anon expression," I explained. "Fine," said Jess. "Let go and let God. Great, whatever. Just don't argue with reporters, okay?" I nodded again. "I get it. So treat the press like they're alcoholics." "What?" said Jess, visibly regretting taking her new job. "No, that's no. Just don't argue with reporters." It felt like we had all learned some valuable lessons. I learned that in politics, unlike in show business, being right doesn't give you the right to be a jerk. I learned that even though aggressively challenging every misstatement and contesting every minor argument had helped me write those New York Times number one bestsellers, it wouldn't help me win this race. I learned that campaigns have their own rules, their own laws of physics, and that if I wasn't willing to accept that, I would never get to be a senator. I would have many more opportunities to learn these lessons over the course of the campaign because, frankly, they never really sank in. And for their part, Andy and Jess had learned never to let me out of their sight again, not for one single second.